anger over migration has brought down the Belgian government, forcing Prime Minister Charles Michel to offer the King his resignation. Michel had previously said he'd head a minority government after his largest coalition partners abandoned him. The fight began after Michel signed the UN Migration Pact. To discuss, political editor of Politico Europe, Ryan Heath, is with me. Hello, Ryan.
Great to join you again, Keith.
Welcome back to Inside Europe. Can you just run through what happened in Belgium for us?
So we're in a situation where the Belgian government has been unusually stable for several years now, and it's run by a French-speaking liberal, but the country is divided into two different language groups in three different regions. So it was a very unusual government in the first place. It was propped up by the biggest party in the whole country, the N-VA, which is a Flemish party that wants to basically end Belgium as we know it. They're a nationalist party. They want independence for Flanders, and a group of other Flemish parties. So it was never a very ideologically coherent government. And then because the N-VA are very against non-white migration, let's say, they don't like the idea of people from Northern Africa coming in large numbers to Belgium, definitely not the Middle East either. They've used this migration pact as basically a recruiting tool to improve their position in the polls ahead of a national election next May.
So could this be rooted in the historical tensions between the French and the Flemish communities?
It's both the Flemish-French tension, the migration pact, and the fact that the N-VA just need a short-term tactic to do better in the polls. By joining a government that obviously is very pro-Belgium remaining a country, they've lost some of their supporters to a more right-wing party called Vlaams Belang. And even though this UN pact isn't legally binding and doesn't really change a lot in practice, what it is a great tool to hit this centrist government over the head with. So it's really governance from the center that's under attack by this tactical maneuver from the N-VA. But because Charles Michel, the now resigned Prime Minister of Belgium, even agreed to go into a government with this right-wing nationalist party, he doesn't have any sympathy from the left-wing parties in Belgium. They're perfectly happy for his government to fall. And that itself is probably a fairly dangerous game because they're trying to seek revenge for policy losses over recent years because of this government, but they may be putting this whole mode of centrist governance at risk by allowing this to happen.
And do you think this could happen in other EU member states, with opposition to the UN Migration Pact, for example, in neighbouring France?
I think certainly other governments may fall over this issue because it's a very convenient wedge tactic and it's sparked so quickly that we can see that there really is potential for this help happening elsewhere. But it won't happen in the same way as it's just happened in Belgium. It's a very peculiar circumstance where the country is perfectly happy to let the Prime Minister resign in Belgium, knowing that the King probably won't accept his resignation or would let him carry on as a caretaker Prime Minister for the next 6 or 7 months before elections in May.
Yeah.
And that's a very rare situation. Most heads of state or most populations wouldn't allow that to happen. So in practice, not much is going to change in the next 6 months in Belgium, whereas someone like Emmanuel Macron felt forced to resign from the presidency of France. That's kind of reordering the entire French constitution and really a big shake-up and a big risk for Europe in general.
Yeah, I mean, there was that open letter from a group of French generals during the week. They've accused Macron of being guilty of a denial of democracy or treason against the nation, which is very dramatic. They say that he signed this UN Migration Pact without putting it to the people. So there's also that, and they're being punished for this letter. But the letter is out there. It's it's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, that really recalls a democracy of the streets, let's say, that France is famous for, and which most recently flared up to this extent in 1968. And we know that ended with Charles de Gaulle being very aggressive of a whole constitutional change and really the end of an era in French politics and the start of a new one. Mm-hmm. So I think Emmanuel Macron is learning the lessons that sweeping into power without a party infrastructure behind you, without having a way to feel the pulse of the people, it's ending him up where a lot of other French presidents have ended before, where they've tried to reform.
Mm-hmm. And there is, there have been, and there's still, to a lesser extent, riots in the streets. Macron's, his ratings are really plunging. At the moment, they're anything from, depending on who's done the research, anything from 18 to around 27% of approval rating, which is really low. And so there is this revolt, and he's really trying to keep a can on it at the moment.
Yes. Now, Emmanuel Macron is never someone who's had an amazing connection to ordinary people, let's say. I've only interviewed him once, but I did it at length in 2016 when he was just starting up his En Marche movement and beginning his run for the presidency. And he wasn't able to answer when was the last time he'd assembled a piece of IKEA furniture. That seems like a strange question to ask, but the point was that sort of that old question about, do you know the price of bread? Yeah, do you know the price of milk? Can you be in touch with ordinary people? And he really didn't have a good answer to that question. And I knew then that this was someone who was going to bring something to France, but in a very elite way, and in a funny way that's manifested itself in this whole protest movement.
Yeah, and he is seen as part of the elite, and that's a great question about the IKEA furniture. I love that. Ryan Heath, thank you very much for your time and your expertise, as ever.
Thanks so much. Have a great holidays, Christmas, whatever you're celebrating at this end of the year.
And you too. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, kids.
Ryan Heath there, political editor of Politico Europe.